Im Jahr 2020 wäre Ludwig van Beethoven 250 Jahre alt geworden. Das nehmen 12 Künstler zum Anlass, sich im Rahmen des Projekts Be Beethoven von Podium Esslingen 3 Jahre lang ausgiebig mit den zentralen Zukunftsthemen der Kunstmusik auseinanderzusetzen. Ganz im revolutionären Geist des Jubilars. In diesem Podcast stellen wir die Künstler vor. Be Beethoven. Folge 2.
All right. Let's get started. Yes. Okay, Moby, stop it. Would you just stop walking around, please? And turn off your phone. Introducing myself and saying what I do, that is so hard. Probably as everyone else, I've been always trying to present myself in the best possible way. But it has never worked out for me. It has always been a total nightmare. I kept talking and talking and talking without putting a dot. But recently I came up with this very short answer, which is, my name is Koka, I'm a composer, and sometimes I also make strange musical instruments. Where am I right now? I'm at my place in Oslo, at home, which is also my workspace, my studio. Together with the meaning of my life, Mariam, with my newborn Theodore, and Moby the dog, which is sitting next to me here. How would I describe my work for someone who does not know it? It is so hard. I would say I'm generally addicted to a creative process. For many years now, I've been trying to pack all my interests and activities into one term, but without any success. I've received my education as a composer and as a performer, instrumentalist, but I don't do any of that in the traditional manner. So I would say I'm trying to keep my workflow as diverse as possible to prevent myself from being bored. For instance, yesterday I spent the entire day designing printed circuit boards for my next project, and the day before I spent the entire day composing. I have a performance in 2 days, so it's like, it's diverse and it's fun. So, yes, does that make sense?
I'm Matt Dreihurst. I'm an artist based in Berlin. I work really closely with my partner Holly Herndon. We make albums, we make art pieces, we make software, and we occasionally write and talk about things related to technology, aesthetics, politics, lots of stuff. We do lots of stuff. Holly and I met, I was working with a record label in London, and it's a really cute story. She was working at a company here in Berlin, some music startup. For this record label, we did podcasts of all the releases we were doing that month. I was like probably, you know, the lowest employee within the company because I was very young. And Holly wrote to the info at address, like the generic address saying, where's the new podcast? It's been a while. And so I got these emails and I wrote back and I said, actually, I apologize. The reason it's been a while is I've been busy and it's my job to make this the next one. To be honest, she was the only woman that I'd ever seen write to this, which, and so I was like particularly interested. I was like, that's really cool that you're into this stuff. Like what, you know, what's the deal? And then I guess through there, we started some form of email relationship. I later left the job we met in Berlin for a music festival here that she was working at the bar for in the old Festsaal Kreuzberg. I went there and I hand-delivered the podcast that I was supposed to give. It's too cute. It's like, it's too like giving her a mixtape. It's really embarrassingly cute, but it's the truth. And we've lived together almost from that day.
Who lasts longest? Grass lasts longest.
Grass lasts. Wet bar wax.
So yeah, Holly and I, we have a strange working relationship. I mean, I guess we initially, when we'd met, we were both performing separately in different domains. You know, Holly was very involved in noise music and creating kind of small, very primitive instruments to make weird noises in a live environment. We were in some bands together. We had like a couple of like just very fun live kind of dance music projects together that were, again, taken from this kind of idea of saying like, well, how do we make, in many cases it was, how do we make the live experience different together? I remember there was this one moment where I was working on, it was kind of like this data collection patch. So I was trying basically to collect sounds from my browsing experience while I was at work, because I didn't have a lot of time to make music. So I was like, okay, well, when I'm at work, I want to like basically spy on myself and figure out like what I've been listening to or what sounds have come through my process. So I was working on that in one room and she was working on a track in the other room. Because we had a very small apartment in San Francisco, you could kind of hear both playing at the same time. And then we were having dinner, you kind of like met in the middle to have dinner later, and I'm kind of like, did you hear that? Like, because it actually sounded really, really good. And yeah, that was basically like, it's funny, like that turned into Chorus, which is probably the track we're best known for. And so from then it became really quite seamless to start making work together. And just generally speaking, it's like, we don't sit down and like write things down in a super specific fashion, but generally we're both kind of working on things that we're curious about, and then we'll come together, and in some cases there's no way to combine them, in other ways there's really kind of clear ways to combine them. Yeah, so it's quite autonomous. We work quite autonomously.
I can feel you in my room. Why was I assigned to you?
I was raised by a single mother, a piano teacher, a beautiful woman who I think gave me everything I have now. I was born in Georgia, in Tbilisi, Georgia, the post-Soviet Union country. The Soviet Union officially collapsed the year I was born, so we had some hard times back then. So first went to a music school in Georgia, then there was the Tbilisi State Conservatoire. I studied violin there. Afterwards, my wife and I, we moved to Germany, to Stuttgart. I studied composition with Marco Stroppa in Stuttgart. Then later, we moved to Norway, to Oslo, and I did my music technology master's here. Afterwards, I've been simply collaborating with different artists, doing a lot of projects, and all this logically comes together in what I do right now. That was the thing. I have a friend, and we've been joking a lot about this culture of having to become somehow great in the field of art. And within this context, I've been calling him a giant. And he's been calling me a post-composer. I don't clearly remember mentioning this term to a journalist, but at some point there was an article in a German journal who used that term in the context of my interview. And then I thought, hey, there is something in this term that helps us both describe our work clearer. So this is how a post-composer thing originated, even though for us it's still a joke, you know. Whenever we meet, I say hello giant, and he says hello post-composer, and then we talk about football. No, we both hate football.
I think for myself and Holly, both our interests have forked off into many different directions that are less kind of loyal to one domain and more loyal to an ethos or a momentum or a spirit, you know. And so that's generally why the albums that we might create together or the performances that we might do are not solely concerned with the musical aspect or the placement in some kind of musical history. It's more about combining elements to be somewhat relevant or culturally interesting related to the moment that they're created in. I'm always less concerned about if someone knows their scales really, really well, and I'm always more concerned of saying, well, in a time and context specific way, is this gesture powerful? So for the Beethoven project, in the past number of years, there's been this kind of huge leap in progress in terms of artificial intelligence is maybe a very abstract frame for it, because in many cases these things aren't, you know, we're not talking about creating sentient systems, but using instead data collection principles or data observation principles to create new forms of work, new forms of visual, new forms of sonic outcomes. We are literally looking to set ourselves up to be able to experiment with those systems in an autonomous way. So the first experiment was to say, can we study and analyze the distinguishing characteristics of Holly's voice,
Hi.
Spoken and sung, such that
Welcome.
I could sing into something and we could create
Please
somewhat of a hybrid voice between us.
For the appointment. I'm so glad you're taking the time to take care of yourself today, though. Yes. Yeah. It's important, and you deserve it.
The second stage, which we're working on currently, is giving that process a deeper memory, such that it's not a one-time kind of gimmick, but instead the system is learning over a period of time and keeping memory of all of the different people who come and interact with it and the distinguishing characteristics of their voices.
Bleached in gold.
A garden house. Organic flow. A friendly first.
Inside shorts.
If there was a profession called being creative from very early in the morning until very late in the evening, I would absolutely choose that as my profession. Beat machines, they come from nowhere, really. It's like one day you wake up and say, hey, I want to make a beat machine, and then you make one. All beat machines are made from the materials that I mostly found at the local makerspace called Bitruff. I just recently made the beat machine number 4, and for that specific project I ordered a lot of fancy materials, but it didn't work well, so I just threw the entire thing away. For me, beat machines work only when they are made of objects that I randomly find, or everyday objects that are absolutely not intended to be parts of a musical instrument. For example, the beat machine number 1, the mechanical beat machine. It's made with some scrap plywood that was lying around Bitruff. The beat machine number 2, it includes a plastic tube that I stole from my wife. She used to keep her strings in that tube. It also has a soldering iron holder coil that I detached from our soldering iron, so now it does not have a holder anymore. The third beat machine, it includes a ping pong ball. My B. Beethoven project is about making an orchestra interface. A piece of technology that will allow me, a composer, to connect to ensembles of different sizes in real time and participate in performances of my own works. I've always wanted to be a conductor, but as you know, I started off by playing a monophonic instrument, so my sight reading and polyphonic skills were never good enough to make me into a conductor. But at some point I became quite okay with pushing buttons, twisting knobs, moving faders and automating stuff. So then I thought, why not make myself a piece of technology that will allow me to replace my electronic sound generators with human instrumentalists. So that's what the orchestra interface is about. The goal is to make myself a machine of endless creative possibilities. Then to buy myself a suitcase, a hard shell suitcase, to pack all that together, to tour around and perform with different orchestras. That would be the best outcome.
The system right now, we're calling it Spawn, the idea being that it's kind of like our child, because there's kind of a lot of interesting parallels, I think, between, you know, training networks and training children. And right now, it's a piece of proprietary custom software that runs on a GPU rig in our studio. And what it does is it allows for us to take sounds, analyze the properties of those sounds and then transfer the style of those sounds over to other inputs. So, you know, I could train Spawn on the characteristics of your voice and then feed Spawn my voice and somewhat create a hybrid of the two of us. It's producing a lot of sound, and I love it because to me, and this will maybe become clearer when you hear the examples, but the parallel is when you listen to some of the earliest sound recordings, which are very grainy and very peculiar.
Feel my complexion on your face.
But also haunting in this way, because you can hear in those earliest recordings of sound, like, I could only imagine how remarkable it must have been to have listened back to those sounds at the time that they were recorded. And you can hear a similar kind of primitive aura around some of these sounds here.
That quick beige fox jumped in the air over each thin dog. Look out, I shout, for he's foiled you again, creating chaos.
It's not high definition, it's grainy, it's peculiar, but in there it sounds alien. It sounds like the birthing of some kind of a new world. And of course the original recordings were a birthing of a new world that have since matured into, you know, whatever we have now, which is insane to think.
I begin the fall. You remain at all. I begin the fall into your
Beethoven ist ein Projekt von Podium Esslingen im Rahmen des Beethoven-Jubiläums 2020. Das Projekt wird maßgeblich gefördert durch die Kulturstiftung des Bundes sowie vom Land Baden-Württemberg, der Baden-Württemberg-Stiftung und der L-Bank. Vielen Dank für die Interviews an Koka, Nicolazze, Holly Herndon und Matt Dryhurst. Eine Produktion von 4000 Hertz Studio im Auftrag von Podium Esslingen.